We'd like to say good evening and welcome to the Nationwide Gospel Call. This is Brother Anthony Flunder with the Church of Christ at Manhattan Heights in Lubbock, Texas, greeting all of our listeners and saying welcome. Tonight, we have a return defender on our program in the person of Brother Trezvan O'Neill. His subject tonight is things that accompany salvation, from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17, through chapter 6, and verse number 2. It is my pleasure at this time to introduce to you Brother Trezvan O'Neill. Preach the gospel, brother.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Flunder. And thanks once again to all who put together this wonderful program that allows God's word to touch so many people. And tonight's lesson is one that I hope and pray will touch those that are not familiar with God's word and looking to build a relationship with God, and also for those who are seeking to strengthen the one they already have. I want to open by saying, if you have breath in your lungs and a mind to understand, then you need to know that God is giving you time, the time you need to make a change. But we must know that we won't always have that time. I am traveling on this weekend to bury a near and dear friend of mine. And we did just about everything together. As a matter of fact, since I remember being able to go outside, he was there. He introduced me to my wife. But these are the reminders that we get that lets us know that our time is only but for so long. And when they hit close to home, we should wake up. This should be the reason for change and realizing our time is short and we need to get right with God. Some of us, we love to fight change. But why? We get in our comfort zones and then we become complacent. We must strive to build and continue to build our relationship with God. And that can only be done by accepting his Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. I think we see God's will as a must, a should, and an ought to. And when we think like that, we miss the point. Let's get rid of that checklist of must, should, and ought. This is a love connection and not a grievous task. We should know that God will not give us more than we can bear. We know that in our struggles we can find the growth and that there is freedom in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul outlines it in Philippians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. It says, "For it is God which worketh in you." Focus on that word "in." "Worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Verse 14 says, "Do all things without murmuring." You know, we look at the Christian life as a series of ups and downs. But I want you to know that it is also a process of ins and outs. God works in us while we work it out. It is a partnership involving God and fellow believers. When it comes to the subject of changing our lives, we all feel that we should be going to heaven, or we want to get to heaven. And we're all for it, but we don't want to go through what it takes to get there at times. The idea of change sounds good, but at the bottom line of it, we begin to question the changes that we must make. I came by to tell you on today, the Christian life is fundamentally a changed life. If you claim to believe in Christ, but are living just as you did before you believed in him, then it's time for some examination.
to examine whether we truly believe in him. Coming to God requires turning from your sin and turning to God. That's repentance. That's change. But it's not a one-time event. It defines the lifestyle of the believer. God changes us radically at the moment of salvation by imparting new life to us. But this is followed by a lifetime of changing into the image of Jesus Christ. I really don't care how long you've been in the body of Christ. We can all find change. And that's the title of our lesson on tonight, is Changes That Lead to Salvation. And we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse number 17, down to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2. But I'm going to read those scriptures as we open up for emphasis, and then we'll get right into the lesson. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse number 7, says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made a righteousness of God in him." Chapter 6 and verse number 1 says, "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." What I want to explain on this evening is believers know that Christ gives us everything we need to find salvation. The changes that lead to salvation, we're going to look at a couple points on tonight. It renews us. Many of us get in a new car. We purchase a new car, and it has all the bells and whistles. And our expectation is that everything is going to work the way that it is advertised. I want you to know that when we're made new in Christ Jesus, we are working the way that God has planned for us to work. The next thing that I want us to see is that changes that lead to salvation will restore us. And then the last point we'll see is that we can be redeemed. And if you don't take anything else home with you on tonight, please take this home. If we can't find change, then we won't find salvation. Let me say that again. If we can't find change, then we won't find salvation. As those scriptures open up in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and beginning at verse number 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Had a gentleman ask me one time, "So if I come to Christ, that means that my child support is going to go away?" I told him, "No, that doesn't mean that your past is wiped away, but it does let you know how you got there, and it does let you know that you need to take care of your responsibilities." You see, this message is one of regeneration, the making of a new creature. What does it mean for a man to become a new creature? Very simply, it means just what the scripture says. The man actually becomes a new creature. his whole being, his whole nature, his whole life, his behavior, the way that he walks, meaning the places that he goes, he won't go anymore, or she won't go anymore. The way that we talk, we won't use those words anymore. We won't be so destructive with the things that we say. The things that we see, we will either turn from them when we know they're no good for us, or we will respond differently to them. The nature changes. You see, where a man was dead to God, a new creature becomes alive again. Whereas a man has no relationship with God, a new creature is given a relationship with God. Where a man is not sure about God, a new creature is absolutely certain of who God is and what God can do for him. Whereas a man never fellowshipped or communed with God, a new creature fellowships and communes with God all the time. Where a man is living in sin and immorality, a new creature lives in righteousness and holiness. And where a man has to face death, when he becomes a new creature, and I know I keep saying he, but I'm talking about mankind, he never has to die. And when a man is doomed to judgment, or mankind is doomed to judgment, an eternal separation from God, when he becomes a new creature, he is destined to live eternally in the presence of God. That is how we should live for Christ. How does a person become a new creature? Note the words in the scriptures. It says in verse number 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. It is being in Christ that makes a person a new creature. When a person truly believes in Christ, God places and positions him in Christ. In all that Christ is, Christ lived and died and arose. So to be in Christ means that a person lives, dies, and arises in Christ. To be in Christ means that the believer walks and lives in Christ day by day. We can be renewed. It makes us new again. But looking at verse number 18, we'll see that we can be restored as well. Verse 18 says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation is being brought back to God. That is restoration. It's like an old classic car that has been sitting and no one has put any time or effort into keeping the value up. At some point, that car had great value, and it still can, but it needs to be restored. It may have a few dings that need to be knocked out. It may take a lot of hard work to get them out, but the effort is getting it back to what it once was. Some of us have dings. Some of us have cuts. Some of us have breaks, and we need to work on them. And I'm here to tell you there is a value in each and every one of us. The problem is, do we know our value? And we need to know that we can't find that value unless we are in Christ Jesus. Verse number 19 shows us that we have a broken relationship. It says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation or restoration. You see, man has a problem, and man has a problem that breaks the relationship between God and man. Men are said to be enemies of God. We can see that in Romans chapter 5, verse number 10. And the word enemies refer back to the fact that men had become sinners and ungodly. Romans 5 and 6 says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. The enemies of God are sinners and the ungodly of this world. But God, in verse number 8 of Romans chapter 5, it says, but God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for each and every one of us, so that we may be restored. This simply means that every man is an enemy of God, for every man is a sinner and ungodly. And this may seem unkind, and it may seem harsh, but I told myself I'm going to take my time on tonight because I want us to understand that this is exactly what Scripture is saying. The fact is clearly seen by thinking about this matter for a moment. The sinner cannot be said to be a friend of God. He is antagonistic towards God. He is opposing what God stands for. He rebels against God. The sinner rejects God. The sinner curses God. The sinner ignores God. Have I come down your alley yet? The sinner disobeys God. The sinner is fighting against God. The sinner denies God. And the sinner is refusing to live for God. And the only way that we're going to be restored is we must have a relationship with God. He's trying to restore us. He's given us everything we need to be restored. Verse number 20 in our lesson text over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. He is pleading unto those that are lost to come to Christ. That plea is still there on tonight. Verse 21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. We're talking about Christ Jesus. That we might be made a righteousness of God in him. Sin is an internal problem that if we don't fix will become an eternal problem. Let me say that again so that it's clear. Sin is an internal problem that if we don't fix will become an eternal problem. Going back to our example of the car, it doesn't do any good to paint over the dings or give it a paint job when the engine is not right, because you're still not going to go anywhere. God is trying to clean up the inside because all of us have sin that we must deal with. Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. And so we must seek Jesus for restoration. But we must trust the process. And as I close and we look at our last point, we all must be redeemed. As we move over into 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 1, it says, we then as workers together with him, beseech ye also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You see, the message of redemption is not to be received in vain. A person must not hear this message or hear the message with an empty and a deaf ear. Redemption and salvation are available. They are available right now at this very minute. God has made it possible. He even begs and pleads with men. That's what it says in verse number 1, where he says, I beseech you also. The decision to be saved is to be made right now. Now is the only reasonable time to be saved. Do you know that there may be no tomorrow? My friend lied down that night with plans for the next day, but a heart attack had another plan. There may be no tomorrow. There may not even be an hour left for any of us. I beseech you. Any person's life can be snatched away at any moment by an accident, by disease, by a heart attack. Verse number 2 in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 declares two significant facts. And it tells us that now is the accepted time, and now is the day of salvation. A day is coming when salvation will no longer be present. Why don't we accept him on tonight? I will make myself available to you. There are many others that are on this call that you could reach out to that make themselves available to you. You've heard God's word on tonight. Do you believe that that word is true? Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But do you believe that that word is true? Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That word diligent means effort with a purpose. You've heard the message on the night. Will you put the effort and purpose into accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Then we must repent of our sins. Repentance is the change that we were talking about, that we've been talking about on tonight. Luke 13:3 says, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And then we must continue to confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Do you believe? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Well, how am I added to the body of Christ? The Bible tells us in Acts 2:38, on the day of Pentecost, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What a blessing to have your sins removed and then given a guide, a gift that will guide you into all understanding. You can put on Christ on tonight. The invitation is always open. We just ask that you make a decision. The lesson is yours. At this time, I will turn it back over to the brothers.